Thank you for listening to the ALC Daily Podcast. Join us as we dive deep into personal stories, gain wisdom from Scripture, and be inspired by amazing guest interviews. Our goal is simple: to help you deepen your personal walk with Christ. At ALC, we believe that every person needs community that leads to encounters that cause growth. This podcast is one of the ways that we strive to help you become the hands and feet of Jesus in your everyday lives. You are listening to the ALC Daily Podcast. My name is Pastor Jared Pollard.
I'm Pastor Trey Rayner.
And I'm Pastor Kinsey Joyner.
This is the conclusion of our amazing young men's takeover.
Yeah.
I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
We've enjoyed it.
Very much.
Ate some burritos, drank some coffee.
Yeah.
And we talked about three practical ways that Jesus helps his family overcome fear. We talked about the practical way of adoption. Then we talked about the practical way of witness and how it's not just that we claim God as Father, but that God claims us as his children.
Yeah.
And then we're going to take that a step farther to the benefits of such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
So let me read this passage one more time. In Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, it says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." All right.
Yeah.
You guys ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Was your family big on sharing when you guys were growing up?
We had to.
Required.
We had to.
And you were the oldest.
I was the oldest.
It was like,
yeah,
better share, better make it happen.
You better make sure you share with your little sister. And eventually, when my little brothers came around, you better share with the experiences, you know, and enjoy with them.
What about you, Kinsey?
Well, I was kind of raised as an only child.
So you have siblings, but the age gap was so large.
Yeah, I was basically an only child growing up, so...
Gotcha.
The only sharing I did was with friends.
Gotcha.
And I didn't have a lot of friends over.
People are crazy stay out of my house.
So I think that's why I'm like a pack rat now. And
pack rat. There we go.
And so, all my stuff was mine. And it was just always mine. I never had to pass it on to anyone because I was the youngest. And, you know, so, but I did learn to share, just not at home.
I'm the youngest, and so I don't feel like I ever really learned how to share. And then I remember, like, we'd go to a restaurant and we'd have leftovers. I remember writing my name with the knife on the outside of the box and being like, "Do not touch." And now I do it as a joke sometimes with my wife, and I'll be like, "There are 432 grains of rice in this box. There better be 432 when I come back." And so that actually, we talked about that. My wife and I were talking about that the other day. And the first time I went to Silver Dollar City with the Davis family, I bought a bag of kettle corn. In my childhood, if I bought a bag of kettle corn, that was my kettle corn. And I think maybe this was just the perk of being the youngest.
Yeah.
I think my parents taught my siblings to share, but because I was the youngest, not that they didn't teach me, I think I just got away with a little bit more.
Right.
And so when I remember they, without really asking, ate like half of my bag of kettle corn. And I was so upset on the inside. I never let any of that out, but I was just so upset because I'm like, "You guys ate my kettle corn."
Youngest child syndrome.
And so that's one story. And then my wife and I, we got married. And then I remember she would want to share meals at the restaurant. And I'm like, "Share meals? What are you talking about?
Get
like,
your own."
I'm going to order, like, we're at a barbecue place. I'm going to order the 3-meat platter.
Yeah.
And I'm going to eat every bit of it.
Right.
And you get something you like.
That's
and I'll
it.
Get what I want.
And so I was not the best sharer. I think she's in the other room while we're recording this and might be looking at the back of my head right now. But I would like to say that I think I have grown majorly in my sharing. And then also now with a child and maybe a child here by the time this plays or a child still on the way, we're pretty big on making sure that we learn to share. Right now, my favorite, my daughter's favorite phrase right now with some things is, it's mine, which what she doesn't know is that her younger sister is going to challenge that consistently. And so we've been trying to kind of, work on this concept of sharing. And so I say all of that and we kind of give this big, big spiel here about sharing, because if you look at this, this passage, it says, and if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ.
Yeah.
So what that means is that all of the inheritance and everything that is due to Jesus,
come on,
he shares with us.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
You had better be happy that it is not Jared that you are a fellow heir with, because
you all on your own.
I've not always been the best sharer, but we are fellow heirs with Christ. And so just this idea that the success of Jesus, and think about the level of success, okay? Lived the perfect life, died on the cross, sacrificed for you and me, raised on the third day, and brought to the right hand of the Father. Think about what Jesus has to share with us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Exactly.
And so just in my head, I immediately think of thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied, the the Charity Gale song.
Right.
And so just this idea that there is so much that Christ shares with us. Is there anything in particular that sticks out to you guys as being co-heirs with Christ?
I mean, like I said, he's the Son of God, and when he sacrificed himself, he allowed us to be adopted as sons, just like the
process that says. It's describing,
yeah, but it's the one who created everything and that owns everything, you know, and that's not just things that he owns, but he owns just like love, like God is love. He has ownership of it. Like he can give us love and grace and all the things that make life worth living, not just here, but eternally. So there's just, I can't even really put it to words to fathom how much we get in Christ. Just, but I just know everything he's got, we got it.
Just listening to you talking, I think the fear maybe that we can identify in this one. So adoption, we talked about how the fear was, you know, I claim God as dad, but does he return that?
Right.
And then, well, the witness is, okay, not only does God claim me, but it's obvious to other people that God has claimed me. So with this one, I think maybe the fear is the fear of not having enough or maybe being left out. Might be the fear that's associated with this. And so, and I think a lot of that is misinformation, right, from the enemy.
Right.
Like, the enemy is really good at propaganda. And so I think that's kind of the fear that it quiets. Trey, what about you? What does it mean to be a co-heir with Christ?
In a simple phrase, I think of there's room for you, you know, and there's room for me, there's room for you, there's room for the people next to you.
So if the fear is that there's not enough, what you're saying is that there's more than enough.
Right, exactly, yeah. And it's like, look, listen, man, like what Jesus did, he made it with a purpose where there was no limitation, you know. He did it with a purpose where it doesn't end, it doesn't fall short. What Jesus did, it wasn't something that was supposed to have the end title period at the end of it, you know, like this is a dot, 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 like continued on and continued, and there's more to come, and there's more room to be shared. And
that's good.
When I think about being a co-heir with Christ, it makes me think like when one day when I go to heaven, when I leave this earth and I go to heaven, I imagine the Lord saying, here's your room.
Yeah.
You know, and Jesus saying, here's your room. I prepared it for you.
That's good.
The bed is made. It is clean. You know, like here it is. Like this, this is your room. This is your place. And now I like that. And that's just to paint a picture, you know, but just to be able to say like, here's a door. It's open. There's room for you. You're invited in. Come take your seat at the table.
He's sharing everything.
Yeah. Come take your seat at this dinner table. Yeah. And let's have a meal together.
That's good.
And then here comes the next one. Come take your seat. Yeah. Have your meal. Share it at the table. And just more room and more room and more room. And so to be able to co-heir of Jesus, man, that's just to say that I get to be a friend. I get to be a brother. I get to be somebody that's right next to him. And I don't have to deal with or worry about the limitation of space.
That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really, really good. So I don't think we can read this passage without skipping this phrase.
Mm.
So it ends it with heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Yeah. I think we'd really like it if the verse ended right there. but the next phrase says, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Yeah.
What's that? What do you guys think that means?
Well, Jesus said, I always go back to what Jesus said to prove the point. And he said, you have to take up your cross and follow me.
Yeah.
He's saying, everything I have is yours, but right now, take up your cross if you want to be glorified with me. Because Jesus had to go to the cross to be glorified and have the name above all names.
Yeah.
So we have to sacrifice too.
That's good.
Give ourselves a living sacrifice is what Romans said. So it's not all glory.
Yeah.
You know, there's a sacrifice that comes before the glory. Mm. And so that's part of the suffering.
Yeah. That's good.
To put yourself last, to put yourself on the altar and say, God, use me how you see fit.
Yeah.
Not that I get to choose. Yeah. I'm just picking up the cross.
Yeah. Let me paint another example here. I mean, Amaya right now, she's roughly almost 16 months, if you will. And so she's gone through quite the season of having to get some shots and have to help with her immune system and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so she's going through all those little childhood shots that all of us had.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm thinking about this, the fact of suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him, I'm thinking of the example of, okay, baby girl, you're going to get a shot. It's going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you'll suffer a little.
But it is a temporary thing. And for me, I'm sitting here as a son of God.
Yeah.
And when I think of the suffering that we have on earth compared to eternity, it's a shot, man.
Yeah.
All it is just the shot.
Yeah.
And now there's sometimes you have those little simple vaccines, or sometimes you got to get that tetanus shot leaves a bruise every now and then.
The dreaded Tdap.
Right. But here's the deal. At the end of the day, I understand, and I want everyone that's listening to this to know that we understand, we hear that some people got some serious problems, right? I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to be insensitive about that. I don't want to neglect that.
Yeah.
But what I am going to say is I'm going to challenge our mindset towards our suffering.
Yeah.
And when we start to view our suffering as debilitating and everlasting, man, you've missed it. You're missing what's going on here. But when you view as your suffering as an opportunity for you to find growth and even joy through that season, it's a shot.
Yeah.
And all it does, it's a temporary pain on the eternal spectrum of life. And when you look back at it, and when you get to heaven one day, and you're living life with Christ, and you're enjoying the fruits of living in salvation, man, let me remind you that your shots, they fade away. Right. The pain from a shot will fade away, but the healing and the immunity last.
Right.
And so allow yourself to be, hopefully that encourages you just to allow yourself, okay, I might be going through a season where I am suffering, but man, that glory is on its way.
The greater the suffering, the greater the glory.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Well, thank you guys for joining us this week and listen to us, you know, just kind of work our way through this passage. I hope it's encouraged you. And I hope that we've quieted maybe some fears that you've had within your own life. Just knowing that, man, just knowing that Jesus is with you to help you and you're not alone.
We're in the family.
You don't have to walk around controlled by fear. You can walk around empowered by God. Thank you for joining us on the podcast today. You can join us on Sundays at our South Campus at 9:30 and 11 a.m. and at our New Grain Campus at 11 a.m. For more information about ALC and our small groups, please visit our website at abundant.us.